Hi, welcome back to the Chasing Tone podcast. I'm Travis.
I'm Max.
No, I'm Brian.
He's Brian. He's funny Brian. He's laughing.
Funny. I'm just getting over my infection.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, you need... Did you get some penicillin?
Yeah. I got some penicillin.
Get some coffee. Then you get hyper Brian.
Dude, I had coffee.
I know, you can't stop talking.
I can't stop.
And you just did push-ups.
I can never stop talking.
Yeah. No, you showed some karate moves.
Yeah, no, that's shadow boxing. That's my signature moves. You guys can't show those because if you ever get in some stuff, you're going to need to know your way to get out of it. And I'm telling you, the punch elbow move, it'll work. I've never used it because I'm not a fighter, but imagine if it ever arose.
I can do Mortal Kombat.
What is that?
Up, over, ABBA square, up. Yeah. Fatal, flawless victory.
Flawless victory. Hey,
finish him.
Yeah. Select.
Yeah, right? Cheat codes. But, yeah, so I my problem is with coffee. My wife always makes fun of me. It's like, I can't sip it. I don't like it enough to sip it. I just like the effects that it has on me. So I chug it as fast as possible.
I noticed. You said, I'm going to get coffee. And you came back like a minute. Said, all right, that was good.
Yeah,
I think you had like beer funnel back there, and coffee or something.
Yeah, I come back like literally probably 5 minutes later, and that's after brewing it for the Keurig. And then Max goes, "Where's your coffee, dude?" I was like, "In my tummy, in my tummy." But this is a podcast about tone, not coffee.
It's true.
Although if we had beards and V-necks and we talked about coffee, we'd be cool.
Maybe.
Yeah.
I don't know if that would make us cool though.
Yeah,
it would take a lot for me. I mean, it probably would take more than the V-neck or beard.
I'm wondering when this hipster phase is going to end.
I hope it ends soon because I really like beard. They're ruining everything I like.
Well, it will because I remember listening to I remember when Marilyn Manson came out, and like it was cool at first. I was like, oh, all right, cool, and then it just became like Alice Cooper, you know what I mean, shock rock, and then it was like, I remember saying to myself, and I was kind of a kid. I was like, what, 18 maybe, but I was like, man, can't wait for this to be over. Because you knew it's going to be over.
Right.
So the lumber sexual thing, it's what people call it, lumber sexual, the flannels, the beards.
That's what that's called?
That's what people are calling it now because they don't like to be called hipsters. So basically it's like
lumber sexual.
That's
what does that have to do with sexuality and lumber?
I have no idea. I guess they're looking like lumberjacks. But you know these guys belong to the shave club. You know they're getting on Google and they're looking how to give more sheen to their beards, butter creams and everything. It's like, come on, cut it off, cut off your beard. You know,
I don't know,
right?
Some people can look good in a beard, not me.
It's true.
Mine is white.
Some women look good in a beard.
I've seen them at the circus. Anyway, guitar tone.
Yes, guitar tone.
Okay. Unfortunately, this one, I have a really, really quick answer, so I'll let you guys elaborate before I chime in. But James Cavender writes, I play in a praise/worship band, and I play a lot of different styles of songs. I like to use different guitars depending on the set. For example, switching from a Strat with single coils to a humbucker, Les Paul, or P90s, etc. What is a good approach to keeping a consistent sound when using multiple guitars? I mean, I can answer it real quick, or you guys can take it.
No, go ahead.
A volume pedal. And I mean, that's exactly
what I was thinking.
You know what I mean? I'm not trying to be a smart aleck there, but it's like, I mean, granted, there are going to be EQ things. Like, especially if you're playing at any kind of volume, like a lot of people that don't play at loud volumes. And that's one thing I forget is a lot of people don't. Mm-hmm. A lot of people, you know, live in like you're an apartment guy. So like, so it's like, you can't really blast out, you know?
No, I'm making everybody mad.
But what is the one, what is the one frequency that kills your tone as you turn up your amp? Bass.
Mm-hmm. Sure.
It completely does. So I understand that if you're playing single coils, you're going to want to add some bass. And if you go to humbuckers, you're probably going to want to, you know, subtract some bass. Mm-hmm. But if you don't have time, I think probably a volume pedal's the way to go. Max brought up something interesting, though.
Yeah. Billy Gibbons, a guitar tech, Elwood, actually has a huge EQ, which has like automated presets. You can program like 7 or 8 presets, whatever it is.
Then it has 78 presets.
And as Billy changes the guitars, Elwood will actually hit the corresponding number on the parametric EQ, and then it'll actually change it all. So all his guitars kind of stay consistent. And that's pretty extreme and overboard.
Yeah, but it's an option. So I mean,
it is an option. Yeah,
if you're Billy Gibbons, you can do that.
That being said, though, and we talked about this last episode about how many gear companies are coming up and how there's something for everyone. If there's something on that grand a scale, chances are somebody else is doing it on a smaller scale.
Probably is, yeah.
You know, I know.
I'm sure there's some sort of preset. I'm sure Source or Audio probably or somebody
MIDI
does
or
it.
Something. You know,
yeah.
I guess see it being MIDI control.
I think Boss don't they have, or maybe they used to have some sort of EQ pedal that had presets.
Maybe that's what
could
it
have,
is.
Yeah, I don't know.
But yeah, that'd be something to really look at. I mean, I'd have to Google it to get you more of an answer, but or you can Google it yourself.
Actually, let me just Google that for you.
Yeah, yeah. Let me Google it, monkey. Right?
Exactly.
But yeah. But so yeah, I don't know. That would be my volume pedal. Would probably be the easiest thing on the fly, and that's how I took my volume pedal off my board.
You did?
Yeah, I think I'm gonna put it back on because I wanted to put my Wiki Waka pedal on it, and like it's so funny. I was doing a gig last night, and I went to hit my wah-wah pedal, and like I was playing, I was just doing a solo, whatever, and I hit my wah-wah pedal. I was like, "This will sound good here." I hit it, and I was like, "Wah wah!" I was like, "Nope," turned it off. And then later on in the night, the last song, I was like, it was a Hendrix tune, so I was like, "Why not? Let's go all in. Let's go fuzz." And wah-wah pedal.
Mm-hmm.
So I went to the wah-wah pedal. I was like, wah, wah. Nope. I hate them. I like them clean for rhythm stuff, but I always sound like, I don't know. I just, everything sounds like Kurt Hammett.
I don't think you found the right one.
I don't know, man. It's probably because I'm cheap. Because I kind of take, and not saying you're cheap, hear me out before I say this, but I take the Brian Wampler method to that. It's like, correct me if I'm wrong.
Okay.
But a wah-wah pedal, the basic wah circuit doesn't change tone. It just, well, I mean, it changes tone, but it changes frequencies. It just makes it go wah.
Kind of, yeah.
Right?
Or what? Yeah, I mean, yeah.
For the layman term.
Right, yeah.
So basically, there's not much you can, like, the difference between.
I mean, I think T's did one with like a 5-band EQ on it or something.
Right.
I mean, and everybody and their brothers come out with their version of
right.
that same exact circuit.
Right.
With their. You know,
name.
Wait, now you can change this resistor with a variable pot.
Right.
It's the Q function or it's the.
Right. And I guess the thing I'm getting at is to me, and this is, I'm going to make a lot of people angry here, but to me, the
difference. You already did when you start talking about beards. That was like 10 minutes
ago. I'm a lover sexual. I'm not to listen to this.
Yeah. Yeah. Right. Yeah.
So just.
Yes. Why stop now?
Why stop?
Dude, I wouldn't be me if I wasn't offending somebody.
That's true.
It's true.
You know?
That's true.
It's like, not that I'm saying I'm George Carlin or Howard Stern, but that's why you like those people, because they will offend everyone. Like, I was cool with George Carlin until he said white people effed up the blues.
Mm-hmm.
That's one of George Carlin's things. But anyway, correct me if I'm wrong. But if you have the knowledge or work for someone that has the knowledge, then what is the difference between a $79 Vox Wawa and a $300 RMC?
Okay, let's assume they're the same circuit, which they possibly could be.
Let's right? assume they're not, is what I'm saying.
I mean, what am I trying to say?
Based off the same.
Yeah, let's say they don't have all the knobs you can adjust.
Yeah, just
stuff.
Just all you do is it's an on off switch. Right.
So it's probably gonna have better parts.
Okay.
It's probably gonna have a better circuit board.
Okay.
It's probably gonna have a better pot in it.
Okay.
And it's probably gonna have a better inductor in it. And
okay.
More accurate, and it's probably gonna be more accurate from
tolerance
piece to piece to piece to piece. So
okay.
If you get one of those and you get another one a year later, they'll probably sound alike. Versus. Mm-hmm. Your $59 one that you buy, you may buy four of them, and one of them sounds great, and the other sounds
okay.
decent.
So a lot of it's quality control.
I think so. I mean,
okay.
I mean, you.
But let me
a
ask
person
you.
Can only. I mean, you can't build. How do I put this? You can't build anything for $79,
right?
Without
right. cutting, a few
cutting
corners.
Corners.
Without cutting corners somewhere.
But I guess what I'm getting at.
So
here.
You either pay someone in China to do it. An 8-year-old in China right. to do it. Or, you know, you don't have
8-year-old,
somebody
that's because
playing.
They're experienced.
Yeah, I mean, it's just...
They've been there a couple years.
Yeah, it's that's... There's just
but
no
I guess what I'm getting at is... And I'm going to probably offend a lot of people that make wah-wah pedals, but...
Keep going.
It's like, right? Why not? Why stop now? But if you know a guy like Joe Schoolcraft,
mm-hmm.
you know, it's like... I guess it comes down to the knowledge and access to parts and all this stuff. But
or
like,
Jake Steffes.
But if you know somebody like that, I understand not everybody knows a guy like that, but you could take a $79 Wawa pedal and make it sound as good as a $200 Wawa pedal.
Yeah, I mean, we used to modify those back a lot back in the day.
Don't email us. We don't do that anymore.
You know what?
Hashtag mod shop.
Especially here recently, I've honestly been thinking about doing more mods just because kind of getting bored.
Would you personally do them, or would you teach a guy like me to do them?
I don't know. I'd probably maybe me and someone else or something. Yeah. You know, but it, I mean, unless that started like piling up, then I'd have to have more people help too. But I mean, I don't know. You know how I am. I'm always, if we're doing one thing, I get bored of that. And I'm like, let's do some mods for a while.
Yeah.
You know,
but I don't know. Like the whole, I think a lot of it, what it stems from is like you said, I haven't found the right wah pedal or I don't know how to use them with my setup. Cause to me, they all sound the same. I've used one where I was like, I would buy that, but it wasn't for sale.
Just, I mean, and that could just be like that was the same circuit, but it was the one where everything came together in the right way and it sounded
good. Yeah, it was one of those like Thomas Organ ones from like the early 70s.
Just basically the same circuit.
It's exactly the same circuit. So, right? I mean, for the most part. So I don't know. It's just.
It's kind of like fuzz faces in a way. I mean,
but they also, I guess.
If you're looking at them on a schematic, I mean, for the biggest part, they're all basically the same.
Right.
But they're all over the place. Big Muff, same way.
Yeah. Oh, dude. I'm going to stop by your house. I'm going to bust in, and I'm going to steal that Big Muff.
It's in pieces.
It's in pieces?
Yeah.
No!
Because...
Where's the prototypes?
They're on the way.
Is one headed to me?
I got three coming.
So is one headed to me?
Maybe. I'll sell it to you.
Yeah, so I'll buy it. Oh well,
just trade your Marshall for it.
Garnish my wages. I could make a joke there, but I won't because I've already offended enough people. Bob Carr, right? No. I mean, did you have anything? I mean, you said the EQ thing. I mean, volume pedal, right?
Exceeded my 150 characters.
I mean, yeah, that's probably the easiest and cheapest way.
Yeah.
Other than. Reaching down, turn the volume down on something.
Right, or EQ, you know, because I think a lot of it is like, because if we say volume, you know, James will come back and say, you know, rightly so, you know, it's not so much a volume thing, it's an EQ thing.
Yeah, and that might just be the difference between guitars. I mean,
yeah.
Pick one guitar you really like. Just use that.
And just use but yeah, that's like just eat pizza for the rest of your life with one topping.
I don't see the problem.
You'd never want a donut. You'd never want cake.
Or biscuits and
gravy. Or B's and G's.
Let's combine them all. I got nothing here.
Straws. Imagine putting all that in a blender.
You could do that.
You can do that. I get Bob Carr writes, so this might be a monkey question, but Travis keeps referring to people playing the gin and tonic scale. What the heck is that? Entry monkey. No, it's the pentatonic scale, but it rhymes. And the reason being is like, if you've had a little bit too much to drink in a bar, that's the one scale you'll always remember. You know, you can default into the gin and tonic scale.
Or if you're just a really bad blues player like me.
You're not really bad. You can
default into
You're not really bad. You're a good player, man. You just...
Like that gin and tonic scale.
Just lazy when it comes to learning new things. You know? On the guitar. No, Max is like, when it comes to guitar, he's like, man, this sounds really good. This sounds really good. I think I'm good here for a while.
I'm going to stick with this. Well, because I'm forgetting new stuff. But heck, it took me, a year and a half to be like, relative minor, there it is. I understand this now.
You want to know why you don't understand it? Because you never come to me and say, not that I'm like this great guitar player, but you never come to me and be like, hey, show me something.
Well, because we're more busy like, hey, you want a beer? Or here's the latest corny joke.
I don't have corny jokes. I have excellent jokes.
Sure.
I just can't tell them here.
Without offending even more people.
Yeah. I don't offend people. People get offended on their own. But that's what the gin and tonic scale is.
So.
Hey, you choose to be offended. Isn't that what Eleanor Roosevelt said?
Well, I was trying to think of the Talladega Nights, the opening line. It's all about a hot, nasty, badass speed, Eleanor Roosevelt. No, see, I'm pretty sure that's, no, she didn't say that.
No, she said something like, no one can make you feel inferior without your consent. Right? That's a pretty good quote. That yeah, that's a good quote. That's what she said. That's just for real. I'm not.
Without Googling it, I'm going to take your word on it.
No, yeah, Google it. It's fine. But it may not be verbatim, but it's pretty close to that. But anyway, basically, you could say that too. No one can offend you without your consent. Right?
I am the walrus.
That's why I say...
Cuckoo-cachoo.
So if I'm offending you, that's your fault.
Exactly. If I offend you, I forgive you. Because it's your fault.
And you can email responses back to Travis at WildBirdPedals.com.
Okay. That's just a way to make me sleep at night. But Richard Morris writes... This is really, really long. I'm going to take this in sections.
Yeah, this was a long one.
Okay. Could you discuss hand-wound pickups versus machine-wound pickups? I realize some pickups are better than others. I'm going to draw attention to that so I don't have to edit it out. See how I did that? Brian just coughed because he's sick. Huh?
Was sick.
Right? Was sick.
I'm a recovering sickie.
I'm a recovering sickaholic. But what do you call those people? Hypochondriacs? Sickaholics?
Sure.
Right?
Richard Morris writes.
My grandma was one. But... could you discuss hand-wound pickups versus machine-wound pickups? I realize some pickups are better than others. There is a right way and a wrong way to build them, but is there really that much of a difference? And is the difference better? Oh, my pickups are scatter-wound, so a machine can do that. So Max was talking about, I'm going to let you take the leads on this, man.
Okay, there's a couple different ones. Hand-wound... Well, first of all, machine wound is, you know, a preset, and it winds your pickup to these exact specs that are then programmed in the machine. Hand wound typically isn't your pickup and you're winding the spool by hand. If you actually did that, you'd probably murder your fingers because that spool wire is so thin.
And it has to be stretched so tight.
And yeah, it's so tight, you'd probably almost lop off a finger. Part of the reason I don't try to wind them myself. Anyways, no, like hand wound, typically you have like a pedal on a floor, like a sewing machine pedal. And you're varying the speed manually versus having your machine do it.
And go ahead. I'm sorry.
No, go ahead.
But what I've seen, and I don't know for sure because I've never wound my own pickups, but like the machine wound ones, it's actually on like an axis or whatever, the actual bobbin. And then, you know, it spins on its own and does everything. But the hand wound ones, basically what they're doing is they may have it on a pencil or something, but they have it in their hands and they're guiding the wire.
Correct. Yeah.
So they're not actually hand wiring. All they are is guiding the wire windings onto the bobbin.
But you can get scattered like that.
The argument could be said that that produces a less predictable thing that could be cooler.
Potentially, right. Yeah,
without a doubt. But the thing is they still have a counter.
Sure.
You know? Yeah. So it's like...
every evolution, it's ticking it off.
Yeah, so it's like they still have counters. I mean, I guess you could eyeball it, you know, and not do it a counter and then just keep measuring the resistance, right? I guess you could.
Sure.
Yeah, because you just measure the resistance of them and it's just in ohms, right? It's just impedance, right?
Yeah. It's just another crafty thing, or, you know, a mastercraft thing. You look at people like Abigail Yarbara or any of those cats, you know, they've done it for so long, they know exactly how to wind their pickup and, you know, really fine-tune it.
Yeah, I don't know. That's something I should ask Don Grosch about.
Yeah.
And I'm not doing this as a plug. It's just there's a couple... companies that I just truly believe in as far as pickups, and number one are those Grosch pickups, the 60s Fats, man.
Jason Lawler, same way,
yeah.
And Von Scallon's been, I actually need to put those pickups in my guitar, but
I haven't tried his.
I just got a set at NAMM. I want to put them in one of my Telecasters and see. Awesome. See how they like, but he knows everything about pickups.
Yeah.
So
yeah, I also like the John Sur stuff too, those Fletcher Landau's. I don't know if they're I want to try that silent single coil system. Have you heard of this?
From Fender?
No, from Sur.
He's cracking himself up.
That was really funny in my head.
But shame it didn't come across that way. No, I'm joking.
I just like because Brian's face got so red. I was like, ah, genius, Brian. Genius.
He's like, I'm going to write for SNL. But no, basically it's this electronic system and you hook it into it's a backplate and then you wire it into your pickup somehow and it eliminates the 60 cycle hum. from single coils.
So it's on a circuit board.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Keeley was doing some pickups at one time on a circuit board.
Was he? Okay.
I mean, it's been several years ago.
The pickups aren't on a circuit board. It's the back plate.
Ooh.
And you wire it into your passive pickups.
Gotcha.
Yeah, but it works. I played actually a Grosch guitar with that thing on it. Dave just got a Grosch.
Did he?
Yeah, he's keeping it for himself. I told him, good.
Yeah.
He's wanted one forever. But anyway, so that kind of wraps up the pickups thing for me. To me, I guess you could argue there's really no such thing as hand-wound pickups, the way people really think of hand-wound pickups.
I mean, I did a fourth grade science fair project like that. Did, and I actually wound it by hand.
You want a pick for guitar pickup?
Yeah, just to show how it works.
In fourth grade?
In fourth grade, yeah.
Guitar pickup.
Yeah, guitar pickup. Yeah. It was really simple. It didn't even have volume control. It was right to an in and out, and I put it over an acoustic guitar and strummed it. And
did you have individual magnetic poles or just one?
No, I actually had three. I had a cardboard
bobbin,
yeah, you know, bobbin plate, and then the metal poles, and they're made out of screws, I think.
Were you explaining the concept of guitar?
Yeah, how it worked and how in electromagnets and all stuff. I was a nerd even then. I told you.
Not me. I figured out which one was like the easiest science fair project, and it was like, here's an experiment. Which brand battery lasts longer? You just turn a radio on, and then like figure out which one still plays longer.
Which car gets hotter, white or black?
Yeah.
The white one is cooler.
And then my favorite one is like, this is like when I realized they basically just give ribbons for participation. I made one that was like, you know, you do it on this construction paper. You put a light bulb and a socket at one end, then you put wires and you wire it to the potato. You know what I'm talking about? You've seen this before?
I've seen it. I never had to do anything
right,
like that.
Okay, so we did that, right? And then we got it to the science fair. I never tested it. You know what I mean? I was trying to figure this out by myself as a little kid. You know what I mean?
Sure.
So I never tested it. I did it how, like, we used to have these, like, books. Books are these things, like, analog.
Computers, right?
Computers. But we had, back in the day, we had this, like, kit of, like, things you could do, like, for your kid or whatever.
Right.
And, you know, I opened up one of these books, got to the science fair, never once tried it. Plugged that son of a gun in. Absolutely nothing happened. Absolutely nothing happened.
You should have failed is what you're saying.
Oh, completely. And I got like the same ribbon as like somebody that made like the volcano that erupted with baking soda. You know, they're like, good for you.
You tried.
Yeah, right? I was like, yeah, man.
I never had to do any sort of science projects like that ever.
Really?
Yeah, because...
Isn't it funny that's what you do for a living now, science project?
What's even funnier is that I almost flunked high school. And never went to college.
Yeah.
Right? But that's because I'm an electronics genius.
Yeah, no, pedal genius.
Oh, that's right.
Yeah, pedal genius. But, he goes on, Richard does... And he says, too many guitar players are willing to buy all sorts of snake oil and pixie dust or promise of mojo.
Mm-hmm.
Handmade guitars, they're all handmade, you jack wagon. So,
and I like the voice there. That
yeah,
like,
well, that's what I imagine Richard Moore sounds like when he says that.
Yeah, jack wagon.
Yeah, jack wagon. Right? No? Okay, so to me, what? You want me to take it? You guys want to take it?
Go for it, man.
Okay, so like, there's a difference between handmade guitars and hand-assembled guitars. All guitars are hand-assembled. You know what I mean? Like, let's say you even the Chinese guitars that, you know, you buy that are $100 or $80, somebody is assembling those.
Mm-hmm.
You know? Yeah, it's just, everything else is like assembly line stuff, you know? It's just like, you cut the piece of wood with a machine or whatever. But there are some people like Charles Whitfield and Don Grosch who are actually like, you know, they're manufacturing their own bodies, manufacturing their own necks. Mm-hmm. They're not just parts casters. Like,
they're not just ordering parts from somewhere and putting them together.
Right. You know, and it's like, you know, some of your favorite brands out there, boutique brands, and I won't mention any names.
Yeah, don't do that.
Yeah, they order their parts. Can I tell the site that they order them from?
Sure.
USACustomGuitars.com. And they will actually, if you have a headstock design, you can say, hey, can you make this headstock design for me? And then you can order their parts, assemble them, you know. And don't get me wrong, they're still great guitars because they take the time to hand assemble one at a time. They paint them or they have cool features.
Right.
You know, so, but they're not handmade. You know what I mean? They're ordering parts and they're assembling them. Like, for instance, my second favorite Telecaster I've ever played in my life, number one being the Whitfield. Mm-hmm. Number two is one that I assembled.
Green one?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
It's a great guitar.
I agree with that. Yeah.
It's a great guitar. Like, I'll never forget when the first time you played it, you're like, oh my gosh, where'd you get this? I said, well, I assembled it.
Yeah, because I wanted to buy it.
Yeah. Yeah. But, and the thing is basically, I ordered every part from All Parts. Mm-hmm. You know, because I didn't want to put a lot of money in, except for the pickups. There's Lawler in the bridge, and then Fralin in the neck. But yeah. But anyways, what it was is I took my time. I have a basic knowledge of how to fret dress and things like that. So that doesn't make it to me any less of a guitar, you know. But I don't know. To me, there's a difference between handmade and assembled.
Mm-hmm.
So I don't think. I will say one thing. When somebody hand makes a guitar, I think their attention to detail is going to be better. So maybe this goes back to like what you're saying with the walls, the quality control. You know, because like if somebody sends me a neck or a body, I'm not really going to inspect that aspect of it.
Mm-hmm.
I'm going to inspect like the components of my electronics, my fret dressings and all that stuff, you know? But if I manufacture, I'm probably going to, every square inch of that guitar is going to be perfect.
Right.
I don't know. So that's probably why.
Sure.
And a lot of things people don't realize is when you pay a lot of money, you're paying for man hours.
Mm-hmm.
You really are. Because let's face it. Let's say I got $500 in the parts of a guitar and I assemble it and it takes me 10 hours. Okay.
Oh, yeah. That's being conservative.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Of course. You know, and it's like, and I sell it for $550. I paid myself $5 an hour.
Right.
You know what I mean? That's why these people who carve guitars and are doing all this stuff, like Frank Falbo,
mm-hmm.
this guitar he showed me, man, it was the prototype for mm-hmm. what he's getting ready to do. Oh, man, it was all by hand. Like, no machines. Like, he was carving and sanding and carving and sanding.
There's a chainsaw to, like, yeah, cut that piece of wood.
Yeah, cut down the piece of wood with a chainsaw. You should have seen this guitar.
Wow.
And I loved it because the width of the nut, not the thickness of the neck, but mm-hmm. the width. Was that's a weird word, width. But anyway, it was like a little bit bigger.
The wideness, I think, is what you're looking for. The wideness.
The wideness. But it was so comfortable. But he said that it was a little too specific to certain players, so he's going to change it for the production model. But yeah, this guitar, and I think somebody's bought it for like $10,000.
Yeah, it was already sold.
Really? Yeah. But at $10,000. He still didn't make a lot of money because all the time that went into that guitar.
Right.
You know what I mean? So I don't think a lot of it is the mojo or the pixie dust. I think it's the man hours.
Cause for stuff like that, yeah.
Attention to detail.
That's a whole lot different than him buying some parts.
Right.
You know, putting them together and saying, it's a $10,000 guitar.
Right, and it's the same thing as like...
Some electric guitar builders are basically doing that.
Yes.
So.
It's the same thing as like, let's say you go to Value City Furniture. And you pick something that you put together.
Which is for everyone who doesn't know, Value City Furniture is like...
A furniture outlet with a lot of stuff that you have to assemble.
Yeah, yeah. And it's like stuff made out of... isn't like made in China type...
Yeah, particle board stuff, you know.
So it's not like super duper high quality, but it's... unless you're rich,
it's a step up from like Walmart and stuff. Some of it's nice, mm-hmm. you know what I mean? But... And I'm not trying to slam it, but...
No.
Or if you go to a custom cabinet maker...
Mm-hmm.
Or, you know, somebody that does woodworking, it's going to be better quality, and it's the man hours. That's what you're paying for,
mm-hmm.
right?
Yeah.
You know, and you're assembling a guitar, kind of,
yeah.
Over the course of 4 years.
Just need to get some pickups.
So, let's see, 2011 you started.
May of 2011.
Yeah. So, probably, judging by how much you have done on it.
You saw
maybe 2019.
Well, as I say, talking about man hours over 4 years, that guitar would be about $1.9 million.
Damn, you're expensive. $1.9 million.
Damn,
I need your job. Can I get a pay raise? Can I make what he's made? $1.9 million over the course of 4 years.
Well, it depends if he sells it.
Has genuine Max Jeffrey sweat and blood in it. True story.
Oh no, I never.
So has your DNA in it. We can replicate you.
I almost threw it out the window.
Okay, and man, maybe we should. Do you want to make this one a longer one? It's not that. This one is.
Which one are you looking at?
The tone chambers.
I don't know that much about that.
I don't know either, to be honest with you.
Do you know anything about tone chambers and guitars?
I know, like, I know, weight like, relieved.
Weight relieved, and I know like Gibson started doing all their chambered Les Pauls.
But that was for weight, correct?
Weight, yeah, and acoustically has some supposed to have some different variants. I don't have enough experience with it.
Yeah, that's something.
Really let, chime in.
Let me do some research on that, and we'll get to that one maybe next episode. Okay. So if you guys have any questions or comments, or you know, if I you want to tell me how much I suck for offending people.
Travis Feaster at Wampa, or yeah. Travis at Wampa Pedals.
Yeah, no, Travis Feaster at WampaPedals.com.
Travis at Wampa Pedals.
And don't you set that up. Don't set that up. But but no, leave questions and comments on the YouTube. We also take messages on Facebook, and you know, even if you put it on Instagram, which
or Travis's cell phone.
Yeah, right. But by the way, I'm discontinuing my cell phone. But yeah, the Chasing Tone podcast on Facebook, Chasing Tone podcast on Instagram. Check out Max's blog. He writes a great blog.
Yeah.
Updates it very regularly. That's a hard word to say, too.
That is regularly.
With and regularly, I've said today. I'm going to mix those in. But come on. Had to get that in there. So leave us comments, questions, anything. Hit us up. Check out Max's blog. Am I missing anything? Leave us a review on iTunes.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Yeah,
that'd be nice.
If you that'd be great. And hopefully it's a good review, but honest review would be good too. There's a couple.
As long as it's good.
There's a couple ones on there. It's like, this one sucks.
Yeah.
But that's all right. You're going to have that.
Yeah.
You know, can't please them all. Abraham Lincoln. But for Max and Brian, I'm Travis. Thank you guys so much for listening.